Welcome to the Believe Podcast, a conversation between friends over a passage of scripture. I'm Carolyn Kirsten.
And I'm Marvin Williams.
And today we are coming to the end of chapter 5, verses 31 to 47. We're still in this response to the healing at the pool.
Yep.
Jesus is talking to these Pharisees who were all cranked up. So just a continuation of that conversation, but now verses 31 to 47.
Yep. Context matters. And we talked a little bit about that last episode. So question for you, Carolyn, like always, if you were accused of doing something wrong, because you're a rule follower, you probably would not be accused of doing something wrong.
Okay. But I don't like the idea.
Okay. If you were, but you didn't do it. Mm. What would you want or need more than anything?
A security camera that saw what happened, or a person, a witness, somebody who could say, "Nope, it wasn't Carolyn. She wasn't there, or she didn't do it, or this it went down like this instead." Yep.
Or the other side, the antithesis of that. If you did something right, and you and someone said you did something wrong, you would want someone to say, "No, Carolyn did this. She did the right thing." That's a very important question, because the section of scripture we're talking about today, Jesus continues this conversation that his response to the religious leaders. And Jesus has healed on the Sabbath. He's not broken the Sabbath law or the Sabbath command, but the religious leaders said that he has. And then Jesus actually comes and he presents some witnesses to say, "Hey, listen, I didn't do anything wrong. In fact, I have several witnesses to say I am everything that God says I am. I am secure in my identity, and there are some people who can actually vouch for, or people and things that can vouch for my identity. And so, and who I am." So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about today. And one of the things that stands out to me is that Jesus does present sort of witnesses. It's almost like a court case in a sense, and mm-hmm. he presents witnesses. And the first witness that he presents is John the Baptist. You know, again, John the Baptist, they knew John the Baptist to be a man of integrity. They knew John the Baptist to be a man of honor. And even Jesus said himself, "Listen, there's no one greater than John." And John actually testifies to the works of Jesus. And John says, "No, he is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God." And so I love the fact that Jesus begins to say, "No, I'm working and I'm doing the work that my Father has given me. But I have people that actually back me up to say that what I'm doing is right and not wrong." What do you think?
Yeah. And I think that's, yeah, it's interesting, and it's totally fair. Like, here he's been wrongly accused, we've talked about it. He is secure in his identity, and then he can give evidence to that. Like, yes, it's John the Baptist. It's his father. It's his own works are the things that he says. That's what gives testimony that this is who I am. This is what I am about. I'm not a rule breaker. I'm not causing trouble. All of these things that they were accusing him of. Here's what is actually true about who I am and what I'm doing. And these, John the Baptist, God the Father himself, and the actions that Jesus is doing give testimony to that.
Yeah, I think those are pretty compelling, you know, witnesses for Jesus. And not only for the religious leaders then, but I would dare say for us today that we can believe who Jesus is based on that. What about you? What were some of the things that stood out to you in this particular section?
Yeah, well, I think verses 39 and 40 are really important. He is talking about these, or again, remember, these are the religious leaders. Sometimes it's easy to slip into thinking bad guys, you know, like
right,
Jesus
right.
is the good
exactly,
guy and
exactly.
they're the bad guys. But these are the religious leaders.
Yeah.
Jesus says, "You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them, and yet they testify about me, but you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life. The fact that, well, one, studying the Bible doesn't save us. These guys were religious experts.
Yep.
They knew the law. I mean, they had to memorize huge portions of it, right? To
yep, be that's correct.
So this was not a lack of knowledge issue, but Jesus is making the point, it's not about the knowledge. Yeah. The studying the Bible, the memorizing the Bible, the having all the, your ducks in a row, that is not what it's about. That's not what saves you. Life is found in that relationship with Christ.
Yeah. So it, there's, and again, here's when we say there's nothing wrong with reading the Bible, studying the Bible.
Right.
But when it comes to reading the Bible, studying the Bible, what really matters most is the relationship and the obedience to what you've read, what you've studied. And even that, the obedience is out of a relationship with God and not to try to please God, to earn Browning points with God. So yeah, it's this sense of, yeah, the scriptures. I think sometimes we can idolize the Bible. I know that sounds really, really sacrilegious almost. We can idolize the Bible so much so that we miss the relationship and yeah. we miss what it means to follow God.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, there have been times when I have done Bible reading plans and got fixated on the checking the box and getting all the boxes checked, or like doing some sort of spiritual journal. And then I like write things, even though I'd missed a few days, but I go back and I got to fill in the blanks because I don't want to have...
Right, right.
That, at that point, I've lost the relationship. It's become a task. It's yeah. become something that it, you know, I've lost the life in it. And I have had times where I'm like, okay, I got to step back. Like for me personally, the plan, the check the box plan became an idol in itself. And that was my focus and not what does God's word have to say? And so I had to put away the plan for a little bit
yeah.
and just spend time in the scripture without a plan, which as crazy as that might sound to you, was hard, you know, but wanting to fall in love with the scripture themselves and the God who is revealed in scripture versus this plan that might cause pride or frustration and personal condemnation if I'm not doing the plan the way, yeah. you know, I think I should.
Yeah. And again, we mentioned in a previous episode, the scripture should be leading us to the one who has life.
Yeah.
As I think verse 40 says that you refuse to come to me, like you're using the scripture, but you're refusing to come to me
yeah.
to find life. And so the scriptures ought to direct us, point us to a deeper relationship with God. Even if you said, I'm going to read, you know, three chapters today, your plan, and maybe you only read one verse that day.
Mm-hmm.
And if that verse is leading you to a deeper life with Jesus, then guess what? You have pleased God, not because you read three chapters,
yeah.
but, and sometimes reading one verse doesn't seem like enough. It doesn't seem like I'm religious enough. And yet that one verse, if it causes me to go deeper with Jesus and for it to shape my heart for him, that one verse becomes absolutely enough.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I think verse 42 has a really important warning for us in it. Again, Jesus is talking about those religious leaders, and he says, you have no love for God within you.
Wow.
Like, it seriously
wow.
makes my heart stop. Like, to think, again, these are the religious leaders, the ones who dedicated themselves to the scriptures, and they miss it. Like, they totally miss the relationship. I think it's an important warning for us to recognize that that can happen.
That is a super sobering statement.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sobering statement. It's not like you have a little love in your heart for, he says, you have no love in your heart for me. And yet that's a sad commentary on the religious leaders. And I hope that for you and me and for all of our listeners, we would do a check of our heart to say, So here's the interesting thing. Jesus says they have no love in their heart and for God. And the greatest expression of their love in their heart for God is the way they treat people. Mm-hmm. So what Jesus is actually saying, the way you're treating me, the way you're desiring to kill me, it is a, so Jesus is not judging them. He is actually saying, no, the way you're treating me, the way you're treating my disciples, the way you're treating other people, it is evident that there is no love in your heart for God. So I can read my Bible. I can even go to church. I can be in a small group. I can know, I can read the entire internet.
There you go.
and still treat people wrong.
Yeah.
And that will be evidence that there's no love in my heart for God. So really the litmus test of our love for God is the way we treat other people.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me think, Peter Scazzaro in Emotionally Healthy Relationships, I think it's in the session about incarnational listening.
Yeah.
Talks about, wouldn't it be amazing if Christians were known as great listeners? Like, man, they just give, when I'm with this person, they give their full attention. I know they care about what I'm saying. I mean, and I think that's just one example of the opposite of what you know, instead of being known for being critical, for being judgmental, for even just knowing stuff, you know, that can be a positive thing, but without the loving actions towards others, we miss it. And it shows that we really don't love God. As you said, our love for others is evidence of our love for God. So how we listen, how we serve, how we care for others, like all of that reflects that relationship we have with God.
Yeah. And Jesus tells these religious leaders that later in this chapter, I believe it's verse 45, he says, hey, don't think that I'm accusing you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that I'm judging you. Really, you are kind of revealing your own heart, and what you're doing is actually a judgment on yourself. And so even as followers of Jesus, we don't have to judge people. We don't have to condemn people. We can be great noticers and observers, and to say in our own life first is, am I living a life of love, as you mentioned, life of listening to others, a life of not condemnation and judgment, but yeah. It would have been easy for Jesus to judge these guys, but he doesn't. And he says, actually, you're doing that. Yeah, you're doing that yourself. So even in them judging him, he's compassionate toward the religious leaders, which I think is super, super like Jesus, right?
It is just like Jesus. And I think that can be reassuring to us that we don't have to worry about going after people or pointing out their sin. I mean, I can think of a time in the past when I had a friend who was making wrong choices. Like, and we had talked about it, but I continued to love her and come alongside her. And, you know, some time had passed and things were, she was still not turning things around, though I felt like she knew better. And part of me was like, do I need to remind her that I'm not on board with these choices?
Right, right.
And then God was very gracious. And kind of out of the blue, she said, you know what, Carolyn, I know you and Steve aren't supportive of what I'm doing, but I appreciate how you care about me and love me anyway. And that was that assurance. Like, I don't have to accuse. I don't have to judge. In her heart, she knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what she appreciated was the love that she still experienced. And that, still makes me emotional. Because it was a powerful experience for me to remind myself, like, no, it's not my job to point fingers and to accuse. People's actions, they'll accuse themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and as we get ready to wrap up, to kind of come full circle, even when we are doing the works of God, there are witnesses, right? There are witnesses, there are people around us who can witness to our character and who we are. I know that you are a great mother just based on how you've interacted with your kids. And so there are people around us that can actually witness to the things that we do. Even the very works that we do, from a good place, a good heart, they they help to determine the level of our character as well. And then we have our father who says, yeah, Carolyn, what you're doing, I know it's tough. What you're doing is good stuff. It's good work. The way you're praying over people, the way you're pouring your life out for people, it really is good stuff. And it's not all the scriptures we know, but it really is the love that we have for others that I think the father looks at and says, yeah, good job. You're my daughter. Good job.
Yeah. So then as we wrap up, what can we believe about God, ourselves, and others in this passage? I think for me, that warning of how these religious leaders had no love for God within them, and how even though they were experts in the scriptures, that they missed it. I want to just have that personal check, like, because I do have a tendency to go legalistic and to make it be about the checking the box, my time with God versus a relationship. So I want to keep that thought close, that when I'm poring over the scriptures, that it is drawing me closer to the Lord and not something that I'm doing perfunctory out of obligation.
Yeah. I think for me, even when I am legalistic, when I am not doing everything that I'm supposed to do, I'm not walking in obedience, Jesus doesn't accuse me. Mm-hmm. He actually looks and says, "What you're doing will pretty much accuse yourself. I'm not accusing you." And even in that, his love is pouring out, even when he could accuse me, mm-hmm. and he chooses not to because he loves me. He loves me deeply. And so, that's one thing for me that stands out from this passage for me.
Yeah. Those are good things. Friends, I encourage you to have a conversation with someone else about this passage. Listen to the podcast together, have your own conversation, and see what God will teach you.